The Lord is with us, dear heart dwellers. It's September 20th, 2015. And tonight's worship went a little different than normal. I've been absolutely mesmerized with the sound of the crickets out here. They're just so beautiful. So tonight, as I was having dinner around 11 o'clock, because that's how our day works, I went and sat outside the huge cottonwood tree with my dinner, sitting totally in the dark and just resting in the rhythm of the crickets. Oh, they're so beautiful, and such sweet repose out there. I knew the Lord was with me, so I opened the eyes of my spirit. And there you were, Jesus, tenderly watching me. You motioned to my food, "Eat your dinner." And I had lost all interest in food, but my heart longed to beat inside of yours. So you pulled closer to me in your chair, and I rested on your heart and slipped into an awareness of who you truly are, the one who holds our universe together and gives me breath. And I was just so overwhelmed with the reality that you would take time just to be here with me, a speck of dust in the scheme of things. And yet I am very much a person, Claire. Yes, I know, Lord, you are a person. This is beyond understanding. A person, yet the one who created and maintains the universe, and who knows how many other universes. How do you reconcile that? My human mind can't. I'm caught up into a sweet and powerful contemplation of your being. He replied, "Something you'll never fully understand, my love, but something you will always partake from the fullness of. Is it not written, through him you live and move and have your being? And yet my being is constantly overflowing onto you, my bride. Yes, indeed, my love for you all knows no boundaries, knows no end, so the flow is continuously bubbling up for all of your needs. If you will come to the fountain of my mercy with your vessels empty, I shall never fail to fill them. O Lord, help me to empty my vessel." He continued, "The word unfathomable was created for me. Yes, Lord, I can see nothing and no one else could ever assume that title. Lord, lately the thought of your judgment has been coming to mind, and it's fearful. My judgment is mitigated by my mercy. The more you practice mercy, the less you will fear judgment. I hold back my wrath, particularly and in a general way, from those who practice mercy on a daily basis. Oh, my children, how very important mercy is. Mercy is my nature, not judgment. But because of the hardness of men's hearts, in order that the universe should remain, judgment had to come forth. But understand, I took that judgment upon myself at the cross. So those of you who are under the blood would not be condemned. Nevertheless, man has a way of continuing on in his foolishness, and for that I dispense my mercy, according to how they gave others that break from criticism and judgment. If you were harsh and dictatorial in your lifetime, you have much to fear at my judgment. If you did violence to your vindictive, resentful streaks, and fostered mercy instead, it will go well with you. Not that anyone should presume on my mercy in order to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That will not be tolerated. But in all things, I look at the frailty of the vessel and act accordingly. Some of you have given up a great deal for me and for your brothers and sisters. Some of you selfishly withhold and have withheld from your brothers and sisters. Lord, I know I have done that. Yes, but you have learned. Nevertheless, there is more for you to learn, and more and more and more for all of you to learn about selflessness. I am waiting to see who gets the crown for their commitment to my mercy. No doubt, Lord, I'll be criticized for that. Since you are God and omnipotent, you already know who gets what. He replied, but I enjoy the race. Mind you, it's not for the crown that you're racing. It's for the love of me and what matters to me. I watch this race with great joy, and my angels are always picking you up when you fall and helping you to carry on all the way to the finish line. I want you all to capture my heart with your mercy. I want you all to resemble my Father in his mercy. Lord, most people would take exception to that as they recall the way you commanded the Israelites to kill every man, woman, and child, and even the animals. What man sees with his intellect and what I know in my omnipotence are two entirely different things. But people don't see that, Lord. Why do you think I incarnated and died on the cross for them? To prove your true nature, to demonstrate your true love for us? Exactly. As I have told you before, you cannot see what I saw back in that day. You also cannot imagine why I take some when they are very, very young through landslides, tsunamis, and earthquakes. There are so many sides to my mercy that you cannot fathom either. So many sides. But in contemplating the cross, you begin to get a picture of the depth of my love for every single creature. Yes, even the animals. I would much prefer to have them here with me than see them suffer on earth. I would much prefer to have the little children and the babies of third world countries here with me than on your earth. I have promised much to these little ones. You see, the spirit of man has a mind too, but this mind is for the most part cut off from the soul's consciousness. So when it seems that a soul is in utter darkness, there is still that subconscious knowledge of my love for them. And on the conscious level, they go seeking it, just like you did, exploring all the alleys of the New Age, trying to discover me. But as I have told you before, certain agreements are made with the souls I send into the earth. Yes, certain agreements, and they walk out their appointed course until I come for them. But Lord, what about the unsaved who never have a chance to know you on this earth? My ways are much higher than your ways, and my connection with the soul is much more profound than you reckon. Where the greatest loss of souls takes place is in the exercising of free will with the choice to sin. I endow man with a conscience, and I work through every single soul's conscience. This is my way of drawing them to me. And when I see that the time is right, I reveal myself. There will be many surprises in heaven, my love. After that, I took kind of a long pause and I said, Lord, is there anything else you want to say? Oh, yes, there is much, much more. I could fill volumes with what I'd love to say to you all. But first things first, mercy. Yes, mercy. Mercy to the telemarketers. Oh, no, not them. Yes, them. Mercy to the mailman. Mercy to your neighbor and your neighbor's obnoxious dogs. Mercy even to the coyotes. Mercy to those in line at the gas pumps. Mercy to those in line at the pharmacy. Mercy at the deli. Mercy for your husband when he goes around behind you shutting windows. Mercy, mercy, mercy. So how shall this mercy take form? Without complaint, without scowls and impatient gasps of air, waiting with a smile for an elderly person to pass by you rather than vaulting ahead because you're in a hurry. But where the most mercy is needed is among those who hurt you, and hurt you deeply at that. Many times they have no idea what they've done. Other times they don't care enough to hold their tongue. But as my ambassadors, you must rise above that carnal beast that is ready with a cutting word. Exhale it quietly and inhale my mercy in its stead. Yes, inhale my mercy, deep, deep breaths of mercy. Recall the time you hurt your mother with cutting words. Recall the time you jumped in front of someone in line. Recall the time you cut someone off for the same parking place. Recall the time you cheated in a relationship. Seeing all these dark things help you to grab hold of your flesh and put it in submission to me and met out mercy where judgment is due. Confound the world with your love and patience, my brides. Leave them stunned at the depths of your kindness. Treat them with uncommon respect when, if the truth be told, you're sizing up their necks to see if you can get both hands around it. As you cast away that ugliness, I breathe new life, new grace into your frail limbs. I, too, exercise mercy on you. If the world knew the depth of my love by observing the mercy each of my people show to all, the world would no longer be enslaved in the hands of Satan. People would break free and beg to be brought into the kingdom. If they knew the healing available to them, they would stand in line with any Christian they found in the parking lot until they got prayer. I'm not exaggerating here. The day will come when I will be revealed to the world through my people. They will truly have an image of me set before them. Those who were sitting on the brink of perdition because of the hatred and rejection of mankind would crawl for miles just to be healed of who they've become. Oh, I have so much more to say about my mercy and how I wish to see it manifest in my people. Write it on your foreheads, stamp it on your hands, mercy. Then walk out the door and give it to everyone you come in contact with. Come back then and tell me how you feel, how your day went, what was revealed to you. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. It's Matthew 9:13. And where you once were, they are. So walk tenderly among them and demonstrate my mercy to them. Oh, how blessed you'll be if you heed these words. I love you, my people. Go now and love the lost as I love you. And I am with you. Call on me in moments of temptation to give vent to your anger. Jesus, help me, and I will supply.